Thank you, K.O. Bear. O-Wing. The O-Wing. All right. It's fun to see the trans Twitter fronts to people when they show their feed on live stream. O-Wing Benjamin. My name is O-Wing Benjamin. I am O-Wing Benjamin. Hi, everybody. I got a good one for you guys today. It's called Hollywood Memories. The one group above the Grabber. And the funniest vid I've seen in a while. Hi. Today is a good day. I know I'm a little early, but I had uploaded the clips and the stuff that I needed. And I'm sitting here having some nice coffee, feeling good, listening to the rain. And seeing the chat, everyone's crushing and chatting about fun stuff. Let's leave it open for all the followers today, not just subscribers. We don't have to do subscribers every day. It's fine. If there happens to be a troll presence, then we'll just go subscribers. But I don't mind having people come in and chat. Good morning, Bears. Good morning, everybody. All right, so just as everyone files in, I know I'm a little early. I promise today's going to be insanely funny. All right. Owing. 9 minutes early. What are you, some kind of 360 Mason? Well, we are on 33-second slow mode on the chat. You know, Enos, Weenus, one-eyed Weenus, hiding in plain sight. That's why I don't go down the gematria rabbit hole. It's not that people don't use these numbers for, like, tricky stuff. I just, it doesn't bring me any more knowledge. It just seems like a LARPy, gay little thing. And I know there is certain numbers in nature constantly, but it doesn't really toot my horn. Hi, everybody. All right, so my goat, Raya, is about to go into labor. And instead, that's why instead of making this my bear cave, I've made it the pregnancy barn. And goats are social animals. They don't like to be alone. So we've just been sitting in there talking to her. It's kind of funny. I might bring Gary the eunuch in there to hang out with her. But she's about to pop. We're about to get some more little baby goats. That will make for some good entertainment on right here in unauthorized.tv and all the other channels and stuff. Unbearablesmerchandise.com. If you want to send me a handwritten letter, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. And we're going to talk about a group of people that get it, too. We'll get to that. But also, the funniest thing I've ever seen, well, I've seen it a long time. And I'm so happy that I took the stance yesterday that Tom Papa didn't steal my title for his special. Because during the video, I was talking about this great sketch idea that I had that we came up with. And someone had already done the sketch. And of course, I didn't steal the idea. It's like just sitting there for anyone to use. And so it's a great example of how other people can get to the joke sooner than me. The what Dave Chappelle did was theft. He took my joke so specifically that is plagiarism. But no one has a copyright on the idea itself of the joke. And the joke was crisis actor, like taking someone and making them like a crisis actor audition tape. And guys, this guy did it better than I would have ever done it. Just made live stream for the first time. Not my bike. Oops, sorry. Hello, BB. God bless, brother. You too. Amish? Yeah, it's the Amish. It's the Illuminamish. But I have some videos and some insights about the Amish to show you guys. There's a way to become ungrabbable. You can be above the grabber. You can be above the beast. It just requires an insane amount of discipline. And I'm going to talk about some of my Hollywood memories of my happiest time in Hollywood and why they were happy. Pregnant with my first, I left the city, met the love of my life, and now... And now we are pregnant. Thank you, BB. No, thank you. Thank you for doing that. It's not me that made your wife pregnant. It was you. You didn't pull out like a coward. You didn't have so much despair that you're like, I can't bring our baby into this world. You didn't drain your balls watching runaways getting plowed on camera. You're the one who did it. Granted, I may have inspired, but that's the role of men. Guys, all right, do we have enough people in here to the Amish Mafia? Well, that's what they say on reality shows. I'll just show you what the Amish are. They're ungrabbable. There is a way to not have any of the problems that we perceive. It's fascinating, guys. Ungrabbable means your next special. That's a great name for a special. Like, if someone took ungrabbable, that would be theft. But someone taking, you're doing great, is just someone tuning into the same thing as me, but I was ahead of them. BB, have you seen Sandler's recent movie, Uncut Gems? It's an exact portrait of the grabbler. Very sad. Why is that very sad? Once you understand the grabbler, it's not sad. I think one of the reasons that I don't get bothered by this stuff like other people is I don't look up to celebrities or Hollywood at all. I think they're all incredibly lame. There's 3,200 people here. That's incredible. Seeing as most of our people watch it unauthorized or YouTubes or BitChute. The fact there's 3,200 people here that just want to hang out and chat with each other is amazing. All right. Is the subscription to be a part of the chat during live streams? Yes, for sometimes, but today it'll be open. You know, you definitely have to be a subscriber because what it is, it's not to to not let everybody talk or to do a fake scarcity, a false scarcity situation to profit. That's insane. Ask the Amish. It's because there are these like, how can I describe it? They're like cortisol tourists. There's a relatively large and disgusting population that just jumps into people's chats to say horrible, angry things just to get people to react. And then they go, and I, if they're going to do that here, I'm going to make them pay for it. Because that kind of is a, that incentivizes them away because they're opportunists. They just want to go in a place, say things to make people angry. They feel good for a minute and then they do it again and again. And so that's why the Amish are the other side of the coin from the Freemasons, the good side. I'm not going to do binaries today. I'm just going to show what is ungrabbable. All right, but first, this is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen, and it was exactly the idea we wanted to do. COD was a little depressed that someone already did it, but this person did it so well that I wasn't depressed about it. I was a little happy that I didn't have to do all the work to do it because it's out there in the world. So this is called Crisis Actor Audition Tape. It's amazing. Once you know that this stuff is all real, enjoy the gravy. All right, it's 3 minutes.
Are you an elite? Are your staged attacks not going as planned? Are your globalist agendas failing because you're using subpar crisis actors? Well, then look no further. Hi, I'm Harrison Hanks, the ultimate crisis actor. Need a medical doctor? In 18 years as a medical examiner, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Is this one over the top? Is this one different?
Yeah, it's over the top. 33 children died. Do you need a grieving husband? Did a right-winger set off a bomb?
Right, yeah, we're just milling about over there. Had a massive explosion.
And I'm your man. Tired of melodramatic acting?
There's light away from the darkness. I'm just trying to figure out if he's...
Guys, these are all real crisis actors. Look at how bad the acting is. That's what makes this so funny, is it's true. Watch these fake crisis actors, how bad their acting is. It's unbelievable.
There's light away from the darkness.
I'm just trying to figure out if he's okay.
I lost my 20-year-old, but I had 20 years with my son.
It's just tragedy. Tragedy.
Or maybe you need me to tell you.
See that in one thing, sorry for interrupting, but like, that's why sometimes it gets a little alienating for dudes like me and a lot of people in this chat when it's like, you know, if that came on the news, I'd die laughing. And people around me would be like, Owen Benjamin, it's disgusting. He thinks children dying are funny. I'm like, this is fake. And more people are seeing it and getting in on the joke, especially the Amish. They're ungrabbable. We'll get to that. But just keep going and enjoy.
Good acting to match your sorry lot of wannabes. In that case, I can go from this.
My name is Bobby Palmer. My family's one of the families that lost a child.
To this.
My name is Bobby Parmer. And my family's one of the families that lost a child. Going for the guns takes subtlety. Like this. I don't know how many more need to die before the president does something. Not this.
And please, could we do something with the assault weapons?
And every one of them.
Once you see it, it's one of the most insane realities of life. But it's so funny. Like this woman, imagine imagine having someone you love actually shot. And what you do is just this melodramatic stuff. And the first thing you do is talk to reporters, do tons of interviews. And you keep saying keywords like assault weapons and all this stuff. And once you see it, it's so dumb. Guys, I swear to God, I almost feel bad for the deep state at this point. Whatever that is, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, the grabble, the secret hand. It's falling apart in a way that it's almost like the kid who said that he had sex with a girl in Canada on vacation and everyone believed him and thought he was the man. And then 5 years later, he just keeps talking about the Canadian girl and you know he's lying, but you're just kind of going along with it like, okay, Gary. And then it gets to the point where he just becomes an old drunk and no one wants to hang out with him. All right. So anyway, that's how I feel about all the propaganda stuff. They're just, the buttons ain't working no more. They weren't disciplined enough, like the Amish. They know how to make a good run. All right, let's continue.
Not this.
And please, could we do something with the assault weapons?
And every one of those hands is a reason why those weapons should not be out in the general public.
Because,
dude, in reality, people are like, I wish someone was there with a gun that could have saved my... It's this, nothing is real about this. And guys, the good news, because I know a lot of people are spiraling in the other direction, no one buys it. There are people that pretend to buy it. There's a few people that kind of buy it if they've never been exposed to a weapon. Okay, outside of major cities, no one's first instinct. Gun sales go up when these things happen now. And some people thought that was because, you know, Obama or somebody, they own stock in gun manufacturing. No, I know dudes that own gun shops and they're trying to be squeezed by the same people, even though it makes the gun sales spike. Every time one of these things happen, people are like, I got to get a gun. And they're like, no, cut. Can we sell it more? It's just because it doesn't connect to real life at all. All right, here we go.
In this kind of a situation, what has changed? Have we learned nothing?
Tired of green screen mishaps and disappearing noses? Me too.
Okay, you touch up. Okay, all right. Is there anything else you want to say?
That's amazing.
I'm green screen ready, bonded, and insured. I can morph into 1,000 different faces. I offer reasonable rates, and I have no conscience. Just pick your card to play on the world stage.
From homeless to police officer, doctor to witness, to your ace card, a grieving father.
You can count on Harrison Hanks to push through your agenda. Regain their trust. Call Harrison Hanks for all your crisis needs.
Regain their Thank trust. You.
And good luck.
That guy is a genius. For everyone who asks receives, he who finds, who knocks, the door will be open. Matthew 7:8. Oh my God. Unbelievable. Like that's why when people say comedy is dead, I'm like, from the pipeline of the grabber into your TV screen. Yeah, but your comedy is dead. From the pipeline of the grabber to your TV screen. That's funnier than anything I've made in a while. Possibly ever. Because it's so specific and so well made that I'm gonna say this right now on record. That if you understand the crisis actor and what it is, and you feel completely alone and no one else gets it, and you watch that video, it may be funnier than anything I've ever made. to a group of people. Not maybe not mass funny, because there isn't hard jokes in it. There isn't like punchlines, and a lot of people really need punchlines. But I mean, I found that incredibly inspiring. Thanks for showing that, BB. It's incredible. This is what comedy does. Comedy always has done this. And they can try to control comedy, but all it does is lower trust. It's like all these celebrity deaths of like fake suicides and, you know, drug overdoses. With the exception of fentanyl, drugs don't kill people like that, guys. You don't do coke and just die. It slowly weakens your body. It's a slow death. That's how drugs kill you. It's not just like, he was doing great, and then he smoked a doobie and had a line of blow, and then he died in the Full House, the Olsen twins' house. Now, that is, this is the best time about this era, is you're reconnecting to what you know in your life and applying it to what they're telling us. You know, it's like, well, I've never seen that. Well, you don't know, I've never been around a mass shooting. Yeah, but the world's fractal. The world's fractal. One of my buddies sent me this. I haven't added it yet, so give me a second. We're going to watch it again. I know I can be repetitive like an odd autist, but I'm going to enjoy it again. All right, Tree of Life, human placenta, tree stump, fingerprint, lung, tree branch, like you, human veins, river network, leaf veins. When I say fractal, that's what it means. It's patterns that repeat over and over and over again in life. And so that's why I'll read the Bible and be like, oh, that's true. I know that to be true. And people are like, but that was, you can't prove the Bible. You can only prove what Neil deGrasse Tyson says. And I'm like, no, this is true in my life. And it's true fractally. And so when you see, that's how you can assess things. Like there's sections of the Bible that sound like I can't see it in my life. There's especially sections of the Old Testament where you have very specific histories and very specific references and stuff where I have no idea, you know, but the basic truth being given is, you know it's true because the more you ungravel your mind from less sin, less pornos, less media, less poison, less fluoride, all that stuff, the more you're like, oh yeah, that, click, click, click. That checks out. Like, for example, my son is 3 years old, right? And we read him this book, Walter the Farting Dog, one of the Bear Senate. The burglars in the book are white and the veterinarian is black, which I find a little on the nose. So maybe the book will be burned while someone's sleeping. But my point is, there's like this much writing on a page. There's a lot of words in it. My son knows the entire book. He can just start going, Walter the Farting Dog was, and dude, every comma, every preposition, every adverb, just boom, boom, boom. He remembers every single word of the book. Like the ungrabbled mind, the untraumatized mind, the mind that isn't filled with noise and poison is unbelievable. You know, and I'm not saying that you're just good. You know, like you can see stuff where there's innate little characteristics of children where they try to manipulate or bend reality or, you know, get more than their brother and stuff. They require discipline and stuff like that. It's not like just let him go. But Walter the Farting Dog, he remembers every word and he'll just start saying it and I'll just stop reading it. And even words he doesn't understand or pronounce properly, he just knows all of it. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like our minds are so good at pattern recognition and figuring out if something is true or false. And so that's the role of trauma and propaganda, is to get you away from that. Because when you're in that zone, and that's why a lot of us can feel alone, is when you see someone like, we must get rid of AR-15s to avenge my son. His blood is still on my hands. And we're like, ha 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 ha. And people are like, how dare you? All I see is a sinner. And we're all sinners, but all I see is someone so up to their nose in pornos and secrets that they can't see reality for what it is. And guess what? The veil is lifting rapidly, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. My six-year-old has the most amazing vocabulary. Have you heard your dog fart hilarious? Yeah. Walter's clearly a high IQ child. That's true. He's definitely high IQ. But at the same time, that's not what it is, though. It's like, even like a like a run-of-the-mill bike thief IQ. If you ungrabble his mind, it's better than like Eric Weinstein as like a 180 IQ. He's retarded because every assumption he has is false. You know, like Eric Weinstein from the intellectual dark web has a 180 IQ. And I wouldn't trust a word out of his mouth. And it's not even because he's a sneak, but because I don't trust that he knows anything. Like, when you're operating on so many false assumptions, you don't know anything. And so much of math and physics now is so grabbled and full of lies to cover lies to cover lies. Last night I watched a video called Babies Are Smarter Than We Think. I was blown away. It was adorable to see how they work through problems. Oh yeah, it's incredible. It's really incredible. And it's not that like a baby's smarter than us or a three-year-old smarter than us. It's that there's no noise in their head. And so they can just remember stuff. All right, let's continue. It's hard for people to believe there are crisis actors because it's hard to imagine there's people so lost or trapped that they keep going. Guys, okay, I did a Nike commercial in 2003. It's easier to explain it with McDonald's. All right, I never did a McDonald's commercial, but I worked hard to get that Nike commercial. I did a great job. I felt lucky and fortunate, and a lot of people were envious of me for getting that Nike commercial. All right, just flip it. It's easier to explain this with McDonald's. McDonald's debatably sells more horror, disease, and fear than false flag hoax shootings. You know, the goal of a McDonald's commercial is to get a young child to pester their mom and dad to feed them poison. And we wouldn't think twice about that. You know, that's why it requires a lot of discipline to judge some of this stuff, where it's like, it's so easy to look at these crisis actors and say, you're literally manipulating people by saying children died so they give up their guns. I could easily say, you're associating happiness and bright colors and nutrition and family bonding with a package of poison, and it's killed so many people slowly. That's why it's not, you don't see it right away. Like when you look at one of my buddies who used to work in Homeland Security, he has such a good story, such a good guy. But he was talking to somebody recently, and they were all scared of mass shootings, and he goes, you snack on poison and text and drive. Like, do the math, man. And the cheap fat toys they used to give. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not, like, on a campaign against McDonald's. I'm just saying that, like, we have to just see it for what it is. And it's extra horrifying because they're giving false witness on a human death, which is biblically, I think it's biblically significantly worse than a McDonald's commercial, because bearing false witness on death is bad, guys. That's like you can tell that's a bad one. To intentionally give false witness on the death of a human being is just an extra layer of disgusting. But marketing pain and suffering is not new. And a lot of people, slow kill is a feminine move, Gammas. Well, it's also the slow kill is the most profitable for evil. And it's also, there's something called plausible deniability. So it's really hard to prove. You know, like the masculine, you are my enemy, I kill you, I hold up your scalp. That is, someone can say, oh, you killed that guy. Versus like you slowly wear them down and cut their brake lines. They're like, everyone's like, we're pretty sure you killed that guy. It's like, but totally sure? And they're like, grab her. Sometimes I just go to McDonald's to get a little toy for my boys. Nice. Yeah, just be aware of it, you know? It is what it is. Bear families are pregnant, crushing. Yeah, well, the dude I was just telling you about just found out he's going to be having a little cub. People are crushing out there. You know, my wife had a girls' night last night with, like, you know, your basic soccer moms, you know, wives of cops and firefighters and business owners and stuff. And they were talking about how, just casually, like, yeah, there's too many heavy metals in vaccines. And they want to give too many. It's not the spiral you know, like some of the people in here know how much even worse it is than that, but at least they see it. They're not just like, whatever you say. Guys, that time is over. When you have normal soccer moms being like, yeah, I think vaccines are like, there's too much metal in them. It's not like, they're intentionally trying to make us weak, which they are. But it's very good to see. My son does love the play space. McDonald's sucks. Yeah, McDonald's is parasitic. Don't ever eat fast food, guys. I mean, it's bad enough to eat sugar. I'm on a no sugar for the last 5 days. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm already just looking way healthier and younger like that fast because sugar is poison. Knowing my behavior, it won't be permanent. I'm just being honest. But every now and then, you got to genocide the gut biome. You know what I mean? And no, that isn't anti-Semitism. But all I'm saying is sometimes you got to just, you know, kill a bunch of bad things. I haven't eaten McDonald's in over 2 years and counting. Yeah, I never did. I mean, a couple times when I was like really drunk, I would. My thing was Taco Bell, which is probably just as bad, but that was my naughty little place. All right, let's watch the false flag thing again. Here we go. And then we're going to get into the Amish and some of my Hollywood memories. All right. Someone in the chat, tell me who this guy's name is so I can plug him, please. Thank you.
Are you an elite? Are your staged attacks not going as planned? Are your globalist agendas failing?
Just real quick, there's a couple of questions I have to answer. I cut out fruit except for some berries. How's the stomach feeling? Very good. I had flu-like symptoms a little bit, but now I'm good. Hang on, what was the other one I had to answer? Gut repair, yeah. And you know what you got to do. It's like, just give your gut a break. For me, it's been 3 or 4 sessions of a lot of green smoothie with Swiss chard, kale we grow, spinach, avocados, beets. There's sugar in beets, but you do a little beets. There's a lot of nutrition in there. Walnuts, almonds, a couple apricot seeds because they fight cancers. Sometimes some coconut and water. It doesn't taste good, but it doesn't taste bad. And then at night, like last night, my wife made a great salmon. 2 nights before, we had an excellent steak that was cooked at 130 degrees for 3.5 hours by one of our extended family members. So that's where I'm at these days. And so I'm going to keep doing this for a bit, and then I will see how I feel. But it's not about being like, if you eat sugar, your dick will fall off. But every now and then, give yourself a restart. You know, I did that with booze and then just never drank again. I mean, it's just, I drank alcohol from 8th grade until last April. I never thought I would be a guy that didn't drink alcohol, but now that that is over, I see like alcohol just kind of makes you dumber. I'm not judging you, you know, land that plane. The best thing you can do is high quality beer, wine, you know, local. If you make it yourself, nice ciders, some mead. But if you're drinking like Miller Lite and shit, that's like cancer pills, man. Like, just stay away from that. And that's coming from someone from Oswego, New York, where we would get Jenny Ale 30 packs and Natty Ice and all this shit and just sit around and get hammered when other kids were just like, you know, we were like 14. That was my culture where I'm from. No one's sober. You know, the only sober people are the ones in jail for doing shit when they were hammered. So yeah, once you just break the habit, it's really not hard. All right, here we go.
Subpar crisis actors? Well, then look no further. Hi, I'm Harrison Hanks, the ultimate crisis actor. Need a medical doctor?
I promise no more interruptions, but Weiss has texted me. His name's Andrew Lanks, L-A-N-K-E-S. He is a legend. So if you see him on YouTube, give him a comment. Tell him I was shouting him out and that you love his comedy. Because people like us, guys, here's the thing. Like, don't troll people on my behalf. But people like us really enjoy when you get a comment on YouTube or a comment somewhere being like, dude, I loved your bit. You know, because right now one of the big weapons is false consensus. where people can make this stuff and be like, man, people are going to hate it. No one sees it. So if you just throw a comment like, man, that was really funny, it helps fight against the despair. And it means a lot to people. It means a lot to me. And a lot of people look at me and think that like, oh, that guy doesn't give a fuck about anything. No, if I get a comment saying that something was funny or it made them happy, dude, it's awesome. So hit up this dude. All right, here we go.
In 18 years as a medical examiner, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Is this one over the top? Is this one different?
Yeah, it's over the top. 33 children died. You need a grieving husband? Did a right winger set off a bomb? Right, yeah, we're just kneeling about it. I had a massive explosion. And I'm your man. Tired of melodramatic acting?
There's light away from the darkness.
I'm just trying to figure out if he's okay.
I lost my 20-year-old, but I had 20 years with my son.
It's just tragedy.
Oh.
Horror.
Oh.
Tragedy.
Or maybe you need me to tone down my good acting to match your sorry lot of wannabes. In that case, I can go from this.
My name is Bobby Parmer. My family's one of the families that lost a child.
To this.
My name is Bobby Parmer. And my family's one of the families that lost a child.
Going for the guns takes subtlety. Like this.
I don't know how many more need to die before the president does something.
Not this.
And please, could we do something with the assault weapons?
And every one of those hands is a reason why those weapons should not be out in the general public.
Because in this kind of a situation, what has changed? Have we learned nothing?
Tired of green screen mishaps and disappearing noses? Me too.
Okay, you take it. Okay, I just... Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm green screen ready, bonded, and insured. I can morph into 1,000 different faces. I offer reasonable rates, and I have no conscience. Just pick your card to play on the world stage.
From homeless to police officer, from doctor to witness, to your ace card, a grieving father.
You can count on Harrison Hanks to push through your agenda. Regain their trust. Call Harrison Hanks for all your crisis needs. Thank you. And good luck.
I mean, the subtleties are so good because he's playing it straight. He's playing it really well where he's like, because one of the attributes to be good at this would be to not have a conscience. So why not just say that? Where it's like, I don't have a conscience. And then that good luck, that ominous forewarning, foreshadowing look of like good luck. It was all in his eyes. So good. All right, let's talk about... I'll tell you a quick story about my happiest time in Hollywood, because I know sometimes I talk about how, you know, you don't, the community is more important than money and how money's important to pay bills and survive and all that, but to not be afraid of this upcoming world where you're not given as many opportunities for jobs and all this stuff. Let me tell you about the happiest time I had in Hollywood and why. It was when I first moved out there. The dude I met when I was 5 years old walking to kindergarten, his name was Pat. We stayed friends the whole run, right? And then after college, he went to Cornell. I went to a state university school. And he got a corporate job at William Morris and hated it. Made a lot of money, but was like, he's a great writer, real smart, real funny. And so I wasn't really doing much. I was just like thinking about becoming a lawyer, but I didn't like the grabble. I just wanted to crush in front of 12 people in a box, but... it just seemed a little off. And so we drove out to Hollywood together to because he wanted to be a writer. And I had done stand-up in college. And I was like, yeah, I'll do stand-up. I love comedy. But, you know, I was like, yeah, this sounds great. Everything's crushing. So we drive out there in my 1991 Plymouth Acclaim with an orange fender on it that I had gotten from my grandmother who just passed away. And I had a couple grand from my paper route that I had saved when I was a little kid. And my buddy was a professional poker player, and he gave me $3,000 because he knew I'd pay it back. No interest, and I paid it back quickly. We go out there. We stay with one of my friends from college was living out there, so we slept on his floor for a good month before we found a place. And we immediately just started doing open mics and stuff, meeting people. I was a busboy at a restaurant where I'd work 3 shifts a week. And that's it. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have anything. You know, that's as close to being like homeless as I think I could. I was basically homeless, but like it wasn't homeless like down and out or like struggling or like we minimized our expenses to a point where we were free and our currency was each other. And it was one of the best times in my entire life where I had a car that was completely paid off. And I'm not from money, guys. It was all from discipline. So I had a car that had no payments on it at all that I didn't have to buy. We eventually got a apartment for, what was it? Maybe $900. It was $900 a month. It was a studio, one room. That's what Hollywood cost. But we had 3 people living there. So it was $300 a month I had to earn at the restaurant. My food, and you can judge me all you want for this. It was a blast. I was working at a shabu shabu Japanese restaurant, and I would serve all these like famous people and monks and rich people and all this. And many people would order. They'd be ballers, you know, and they'd order all this food and all these sushi rolls and everything, and not eat them because they just get so drunk or leave with a girl or something. So I was the busboy. I would eat their food. Judge me, oh, that sounds gross. No, I was eating the food of kings. Oh, you can get a disease, like what, coronavirus? So I was eating like a king. Like some of these rolls, Kobe beef rolls, were like $30. Not for the Big Bear, it was free because someone else discarded it. So in this time, it was like our currency was each other. No one made any money, but no one was in debt. You know, everybody was like, oh, I just got another $50 for like, I picked up another lunch shift. I got another $50. It's like, and then we helped each other. You know, it was like in LA, waiters and busboys and people in service industry would go to each other's bars and drink for free. It's awesome. And we met another guy who had this small bar that no one went to. He's this funny dude. And we're like, let's start doing stand up here. We'll get people in and then you can sell beers. He's like, all right, man. So we started a stand-up show there, and I could get people to go because of I knew so many people, but it wasn't like this casting couch grabber situation. It was people in the service industry. It was people that I would wait on every week. You know, some of the same people would come in every week. It was people that other people would work with. It was like this real camaraderie. And sometimes we'd meet like famous people that were super cool, and they'd want to be our friend because that type of stuff was missing in their life. It was almost like Fight Club without the gay undertones and violence. And so there was such a bond. And the currency was trust. It was each other. It was this off the stuff that everyone else threw away. And we took pride in how little we had. Like, we didn't have stuff. We didn't buy fancy pants. And so we made this comedy video that, to any of the grabbers in like the ivory towers, it would have cost like $100,000 to make. And we made it for zero, maybe $100. We bought everybody snacks because the community was the currency, and community is more valuable than money. And I say that all the time, and people are like, Miss being eighth. I have way more income now than I did then, way more. And I can objectively think like it was easier then to make stuff, to produce things. You know, what motivates people way more than money is community. And we're about to get to the Amish. And so I got on the show Punked on MTV. I auditioned because people had seen me do stand up at places. And I would sit around at the improv waiting for some of these comedians to not show up because they were too busy getting BJs or pumping behind a dumpster. and everyone knew that I was funny. So just the fact I could sit there every night, and I would have had to work otherwise, but I needed $300 a month to live. So whenever people wouldn't show up, I'd get the spot and crush. And I would follow like Seinfeld. It'd be like Seinfeld, and someone would not show up, and then I'd go up. And so that's where I really got my experience, because open mics you do yourself is one thing, but a lot of times you're just trying to make other comedians laugh who can be cynical. I could perform in front of 250 normal people, and the fact I would do it for no money, and I would sit there every night waiting for when they needed me, I offered them value, because I was just a dude waiting. And when someone doesn't show up, or if someone gets stuck in traffic and you have a lineup that you have to hit, it's like, we need someone to go up. It's like, okay, Owen has no credits. He's not famous. No one knows who he is, but they're going to like him. And so, beep, and then crush. And then from there, people would be like, okay, you'd be good. You know, I'd improv with the crowd. You know, someone would yell out. I'd make everybody laugh. Someone would be like, yo, you got to audition for the show Punked. I know the casting director. I'm like, okay, why? They're like, because they need people that are off script. They don't do scripts. They're off book. And that was always my biggest strength in comedy. That's why I got the Nike commercial as well. It's because there are these type of people that are great with scripts, like the crisis actor thing I just sent you. I'm not great with scripts. I'm great if it's like, here's the scenario, here are the characters, here's what we are accomplishing. Go. I'm a creator. And so I auditioned for Punked. I got Punked. I would punk all these celebrities, Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town. I was like threatening a gun with a gorilla. 3-6 Mafia. You know, I was like one of those dudes at the dinner table. That one dude from Lord of the Rings. I can't remember his name, but that's why I know shit goes wrong with these events all the time, and it's not because they're trying to show us what they're up to, like the bad acting. One time we were punking the dude from Lord of the Rings, and there was a dog in this scenario, and it was a fake attack dog, and I was a waiter, and it was going to attack me, and he was going to be sued. I don't know. And the dog just takes a shit, just starts shitting right there, just shitting diarrhea shit all over this restaurant. And so that's why they hire people like me, because then we had to quickly change and make the whole scene about the dog shit. And that's why when people are like, it's all scripted. If they show you the passport, it means that they want you to... No. I was working with some of the best producers in the world. You know, it is how it works. If you have elements at work, there is going to be unforeseen forces. It's the nature of reality. The nature of reality is not that every little detail has been checked off by a group of mysterious people you've never met that are there just to make you paranoid as you watch pornos. No. So anyway, I was a busboy, like scrubbing, taking out trash. You know, illegal Mexicans are ordering me around with their teardrop tattoos, and I call them homos in Mexican or in Spanish. I'd be like, ah, patito sucio. And then all the other Mexicans would laugh at the dude I called a homo. You know, it was fascinating time. And on TV would be me punking celebrities, and I would be like washing someone's table. And so, and that was how it was, you know. And then the hostess that you just saw seat somebody would be on a billboard as a model. And it was fascinating time when it was all about like, the work was where we had the bonds. And so the more people would get successful, the more people would get money, the more you wouldn't have to have your day job, or you wouldn't have to hook each other up. You know, like when everybody knows you're making $30,000 a week, you're not like, come over, I'd give you a free beer. And it's isolating. And at those points, and it's so hard to explain to people this because of the scripted envy of money in the world and celebrity. Like if someone like me was to explain this to someone, their immediate response is, myth be nays. And it's so true that it's unreal. And that's why when I tell young people, like, embrace it. Like, embrace it. Like, when you and some dudes, right now, my suggestion would not be to go to Hollywood. It would be to get some land, build a yurt, grow food, you know, figure out a way to make really healthy food that you don't have to take to market because that's where it becomes illegal. So develop like a trading thing. You know, you could do all kinds of stuff. And embrace like the innovation and the reliance on other people when you don't use money. Money has always been in my life. I still had to make $300 a month. I paid off my friend in like 2 months, 3 months. Like everything I made, I paid him back. And that's why it was no interest. And that's how Koreans and Jews and Armenians and some of these like inclusive communities, like some of these communities that hook each other up, they get an advantage because they give each other loans for no money because they know because of the community bonds it will be paid back. Whereas the random debt slave that doesn't have community, that's given up their community, their family, for money, they have to pay 17% to get an item that they don't need. And so when you have a family, you do need more resources. Like right now, I couldn't survive on $300 a month. I mean, we would make it work. But that young energy that the grabber has tried to take away with student debt you can't default on and despair and pornos and isolating all these people so that everybody thinks their friends hate them because of Facebook algorithms. What the position you're in is great right now. Imagine if you see this great change in society and there's a great unveiling and institutions are crumbling and chaos is brewing. There's no stable, foreseeable future. Guess what that just did? Freed you. Imagine being in 1955 and you just graduate high school and you know you have a job waiting for you with benefits and you can get a house and your wife can stay home and it's all going to be fine, but you don't necessarily want that job, but it's good. You would be a fool to not do that. Like everyone did that because it's like, why not? Like that's stable. There you go. Right now, there isn't that. So what is it free you to do? Anything. If there isn't that tempting stability, then it's time to start creating. And from my perspective, but everybody's different, do your own thing. You know, that's why people send me handmade stuff all the time, because they want to show me what they can do, you know, because it makes them happy. It's their purpose. What I would do if I was a young man right now, and don't just do this because I'm saying it, I'm just saying this is what I would do. I would find like 15, 20 acres for like 40 grand somewhere where it's cheap because there isn't a lot of jobs. Okay, I would get some buddies, I'd split it with them, and then I would just start building. I would build a way to grow food, and then to make money to pay for expenses, you would sell your raw milk or organic eggs and stuff to people you know. It's illegal to sell raw milk. You'll be swatted, guys. It's not, and this isn't because it's like, it's cartel shit. It's like you can't take a piece of their industry, and I understand that. They have this power. They own this industry. It's kind of like drugs, you know, don't step on George H.W. Bush's territory. But you see what you can do in this situation. You can't, who you can sell stuff to is your friends, your network, people in your area. The only thing you're not allowed to do is to market, to bring it to a mass audience. They won't let you put your whole raw milk in Walmart. Okay, accept that and move on. You're not going to change that. I'm not going to change that Hollywood real estate is $900 back in 2002 for a little box. You know, nowadays people are so used to victim culture that they're like, I can't do anything because the world is against me. $900 a month for a little box. What did we do? We split it with three guys and we didn't buy anything. And guys, I miss being around other guys a lot. It was great. And it also builds your character because you can't be a piece of shit when you're sharing a room with two other guys. One of the reasons that people are becoming more hostile and more antisocial and more perverted is they're alone. They have complete they're alone all the time. Everyone's like, oh, they're coming for our privacy. Guys, for most of human existence, you were around people all the time because people didn't get to have a giant house alone with all the fucking bells and whistles of their perverse appetites. Like, you couldn't just beat off all day to pornos. Like, there was people coming in and out of your house. You had to figure out how to get along with people. I'd go trades, apprentice, getting paid what you learn. Perfect. Yeah, like, you see what the needs in society. Like, there's so many weaknesses in society that need to be filled, and the people full of despair aren't doing anything. It's like Vox Day doing leather-bound books. He stumbled into a massive underserved market to the point where I told him today, I'm like, in 6 months, I hope you still want to talk about unauthorized. And we're both laughing. But it's a beautiful existence. You guys are my friends. Yeah, yeah. I've learned. I appreciate what we have here a lot. You know, because this community is really cool. I've accepted a lot of realities. And it's like, a lot of people I relate to are people in this chat. And I know it's real. I know it's not just cyber fantasy nonsense. Because when I tour, I get to actually hang with you guys. And a lot of you guys have, like, Coddington Bear I met this way. You know, one of the binders that's working with Vox, a bear, the Idaho, police training guy that's going to be in the documentary that I talk to all the time, met through this, like, bears everywhere, and they're real. And it's like, of course you'll have your bots and your weirdos that are like pretending to be something they're not, but the genuine bonds in this community are real. And so I'm very fortunate for that. But my point is, the way to avoid the grabble, because it's everywhere these days, is discipline. You have to take pleasure, pride in what you don't have. All right, now let's talk about the Amish. I call them the Illuminamish because everyone wants to know who's above the Jews. Everyone's like, the Jews run the world. And then you have another person be like, it's the Jesuits, the gay mafia. They rewrite history. And someone's like, the Jew. Guys, Amish don't give a shit about either group because they're above all of it. And I'll tell you why. Because whether it's the WASPy, whatever, the Jews, the Jesuits, whatever, Rockefeller, whatever, you know, the 12 bloodlines of fucking Northern Italy, I don't care. All of it relies on people having people have bad family units, bad community, and wanting stuff. Okay, so the Amish, imagine someone being like, well, hang on, give me 1 second. Someone being like, well, if you don't comply to trans children, then your child will not be allowed to be taught in public school. Imagine this, imagine this guy being like, what? For those of you just listening, it's an Amish guy with a giant beard. Someone's like, MP, you know, EMP disasters, all the electricity could go out and no one would be able to have internet. And this guy's like, I don't care. You know, someone's like, gasoline prices are skyrocketing if we don't go to war with Iran. These people are just like, what? They're just in a, for those of you listening, they're in a cart behind a horse. They're like, because what it is, it isn't that there's a specific time. Like, if I was going to do a comedy show with the Amish, I would be like, what made you stop exactly when you guys did? Because you still use technology. But was it like, you know, a certain type of, like, horseshoe? It's like, Jebediah, this horseshoe has a little more give. It's like, I'm done! Or it's like, Jebediah, we have a handy new tool to help us make better butter. It's like, no, I like to watch my wife make the butter. Why, Jebediah? I'm not going to tell you why. The point isn't that they're at the right place. The point is they're capable of stopping. Doesn't matter if it was 1830 land. And I was like, the wheel, okay. But don't put any more grease in it and make sure it's absurdly big. Because the point isn't that that's exactly the right place. You know, whether you're Amish or Mennonite, or you just refuse to have a Facebook app. The point is, you're not controlled by the nonstop escalation of technology. And that is the moment you stop any place in your life is the moment it doesn't hold you as much. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did and say what I've said if I associated my existence with social media. I've been kicked out of all of it. People that are like, I don't know what I'd do without my Twitter. Okay, I'll just not say those things. That's all it is. The Amish, they're like, well, you must have, they're like, you must drink this milk because it's been pasteurized. And they're like, we have cows. And they're like, well, there's all these migrant workers coming in and they're going to take your jobs. And the Amish are like, we don't work for money. It's all our family. Great bit. What was the turning point for them to stop the BS? I think it was the TV. No, because it was before the I think it had to do with electricity. I don't know, but the point isn't, because they're still using technology. You know, like back in the day, that cart, people would have been like, when you have the cart, you become weak. You must know how to ride the horse without a saddle. You know, I bet Genghis Khan would be like, carts? You're going to become gay. I think they saw the trend and bailed. And guess what? They're also some of the wealthiest people in the world. And they don't even buy anything with it. They have more land and gold than anybody. They're ungrabbable. Everyone's like, the white population is declining. No one is having babies. The Amish are like, I have 10. We will have as many children as God provides. You know, Betsy's on number 15. And people are like, but the white population, they're like, not here. And okay, here's a great story about the Amish. So there was this shooting at an Amish school. You guys remember the vaccines? How are they going to enforce vaccines? If you don't take vaccines, you can't get on airplanes we don't go on airplanes. Everything requires a ticket. Everything. And when you have a strong community, the beast doesn't do shit. Would you like to see real strength? Real strength is not how many digital zeros you have in your checking account. Watch this. Would you like to see real strength? This is what a group of human beings with the same goal can accomplish. Do you know how much this would cost? Do you know how long this would take to find a company? Do you know how many hours of your life you'd have to work in order to pay somebody to do this? Watch the power of just a handful of people with faith in God. And I'll get to the reason that it requires God in a second, but watch this. This is ungrabbable behavior. Are you ready? Enjoy.
On Saturday, March 9th, members of the Amish community arrived at the Hochstetler farm on Snively Road. Over 250 Amish men and others were there to help move a pole barn from one side of the farm to another. Shortly after 9 a.m., they spread out, surrounding the barn, and then they lifted. Walking steadily, they were able to maneuver the barn into its new spot. The entire process took less than 5 minutes.
Look at that. Look at that.
From Northern Knox County, this is Joshua Morrison from MountVernonNews.com.
Okay, so understand that they don't need shit. And it requires insane discipline, guys. For people being like, I'm going to become Amish. No, I couldn't become Amish. I'd start doing jokes about moving the barn. They'd be like, Owen, we enjoy your presence sometimes, but you are not cutting it. That's what I mean about discipline. They have, okay, this is another story for the Amish. And for people pitching the narrative, just know that they try to grabble them all the time. They're like, oh, the Amish mafia are like, oh, their genetics are getting so weak, they're requiring people to breed with their women. Or it's like, oh, the vaccines are being forced on them. No, none of it. Because there's no way to motivate them. What are they going to be? What will be taken from them or given to them? They want nothing from the beast, and they just don't want any of. And they're not. And there's no reason to be fearful. This is a great story about the Amish, because as we've been looking at all these false flag events and hoaxes and stuff, what they do is they create something horrible and scary so that people give up their rights. And a lot of times no one actually dies. I don't know if anyone died or not in the Amish shooting, but I'm guessing yes, because it's such an inclusive community. Apparently some lone gunman, for no reason, went into an Amish school and killed like 10 Amish kids. You know, and then they immediately tried to take the Amish's rights, or, you know, we can help patrol. But the Amish forgave the killer and went back to building barns and knew that their children were with God. True faith and true lack of fear is and then no more shootings happened, because the grabber was like, no, but you need our help. You know, it's they cause a problem to make the person beg for the original, what they want to put on the people. You can't just do shit to people. That's why they have hoaxes events. That's why they do propaganda. In your mind, you think that at any time the state or whatever can just kick in your doors and make you do shit. Obviously, that is impossible, or they would do that. They need to make you want it. It's marketing. And the Amish, because they know that evil isn't caused by man, but it's caused by the devil, and that God, you know, that if you're a good Amish person, you return to God. There was no fear, because the Amish live in the world of actual trauma from the hard world given to us by God. You know, you see children die. You see your crops fail. You see like really hard things. You have to make it through the winter without help from the beast. And so when you're in that world, you understand, you see the patterns of like, what is real trauma? What is not real trauma? And when they try to grab them, they're like, they don't bite at all, because it just didn't work. And I was like, so who's really above the grabber? And that it's community. And that's why there's so much effort to break the family, break the community, break the faith. Because if you have that shit, you can just pick up a fucking barn and move it. Think about that. They're trying to sell you on a life where it's like, if you don't make $80,000 a year, you know, you're not going to be able to. And it's like, dude, you just need buddies, each other. We are our currency. And the more you see that, the more our communities don't break down, the more our family doesn't break down. Like, having a trusted family member is worth more than all the money in the world. And I'm not exaggerating. And when people are isolated, they suffer. And suffering people are prone to addiction. There was this study, and this is how studies are very dangerous, because a lot of the study they reveal is true, but it's exactly the opposite of what they reveal, because they don't tell you the whole story. The Amish are very stoic too. Yeah, and they have to let their children go out and experience life for like a year or two so that they choose to come back. And they almost always come back, because when you're raised in that environment and you go to like Manhattan for a year, you're like, these people are lost. These people have no community. They have no skills. They have not, like, what? It's just hell. Like, when you're in that world, you can reveal hell. You know, a cult would say you can never leave. But the Amish are like, you must leave. They make you leave. Because if you don't leave and see the devil, you may be able to be tempted, you know? And so, what was I just talking about? Mouse Utopia. Yeah, well, there's Mouse Utopia, but then there's another one. Mouse Utopia is actually valid. And, how do you know? Because it's fractal and I can see it in my life. The mouse experiment they did with cocaine, they said if a mouse is given cocaine, they'll take it until they die. Do you remember that study? Where it's like cocaine is so addictive that if a mouse starts eating cocaine, it will just keep going until they're dead. That's only in mice that are confined. They also did a study where mice in their natural habitat tried coke once and never went back. Because addiction is from living in a false world, living in lies, living in a construct. Mice, doesn't matter what type of being it is, if you are living in an environment that isn't conducive to your nature at all, you will just take a euphoric impulse as much as you can, no matter what. If you live in a basically natural environment, nothing even crazy, just not like everything's fake, the mouse would have some coke and be like, man, this makes me feel weird and gay. I have all these ideas for businesses that will definitely not work. I'm not doing that again. They said that about sugar too. Yeah, it's about the mental state of the mouse. And it's like that with our lives, you know? It's like I had to drink in L.A. Like looking back, I don't think I could have not drank an alcohol in L.A. And I had no idea it was a coping mechanism. If I didn't drink, you know, and I didn't even think about it. I was never like a sloppy drunk or mean drunk. I never got like arrested for shit. But if I didn't have at least a few drinks, I don't know. I think that motivation of being there and everything's concrete. The words people say are false, except for the beginning when I was there. That's what I mean, because even in Los Angeles, I still had a community because we weren't flooded with fiat currency and lies and shit. When we spoke to each other, we said the truth. And Pat is still doing great. We're still friends. He's a really big producer in LA now. And great guy, you know, and I left because it just wasn't for me anymore, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, coping with the fake world. Yeah, and it's easier to wear shoes than to pave the world. So you can't change the world so that you don't want to drink. What you can do is in your life, don't lie. Like, Don't chase fake shit. Don't lie to yourself. Don't pretend something is real that isn't so that you can get more fiat currency or sex acts with people you don't love. You know, it's like you can be... Like, I know people that were the most free in prison. I mean, it's not necessarily about, like, just your physical environment, but, like, prison has more honesty than the current structure of our society. And that's not, I don't want to go to prison. I'm not like saying prison's cool. I know some prison experiences are hell on earth, but it's still like the pedophiles get their ass beat. You know, there's order, there's rules, there's hierarchies. You know, it's like, it's literally more just than our current world, but whatever, you know, it would still suck to be away from people that you love and stuff, but it's just like, I used craft import beers after the military to hide, justify my coping mechanism. Yeah, I mean, we all do, man. I mean, we all have our things. It's easier to wear shoes and pave the world. The shoes! The shoes run Hollywood. The lifestyle and beliefs of the Amish filter out a lot of lies so they can never have to deal with the lies. Right, and it's like their kids aren't in the same position as other kids. Like, we used to buy vinegar from the Amish when we lived in the Adirondack Mountains, and we all go down to get stuff from the Amish because it was just better quality. And there was this 7-year-old that, and my brother talks to everybody just endlessly. It's great because I don't really talk to people very much. But my brother just started talking to the 7-year-old like for a while about how, and I'm sure my brother became friends with the family and went down there and did trees for him. My brother's just like that. But the 7-year-old was trapping animals. He had a knife and traps. And that's what he did. With no adult supervision, he was out trapping animals. And they would skin the animals and sell the paws and skin to vendors and shit. Like, he was bringing in cheddar. And they don't roll with fiat. They're all about, like, gold or land. And just expenses and shit. And it's like the 7-year-old was just out in the wilderness trapping animals and skinning them with just a giant knife. And it was like he was very mentally balanced. He could talk to my adult brother very easily. And so that's why when you learn about like Ben Franklin, you know, at 9 and 10, what they were capable of, you know, and like how Thomas Jefferson could run an entire plantation at 13, and you're like, this has got to be a grabber lie. No, man. It's like there were times the ungrabbled, unvictim narrative kid can do so much. You know, and it's like, it's fascinating shit. Amish adjacent sounds great. Right. Well, that's the thing is like the key is have true faith in God, because without faith in God, there's envy between neighbors is a disease. If you are basing your reality on the physical world, and you're close with your neighbors and your buddies and stuff, and one gets a better car, blah, blah, blah. Like, there just is this envy. There is this greed that starts happening. And then when shit hits the fan, you don't have that deep trust that can get you through the trauma of a hoax event or a false flag. So the keys I see is not that you need to wear a fucking, you have to get an anti-Hitler beard, you know, no stash and all this shit. It's that you have to have true faith in God with other people. Doesn't have to be like exact denominations or anything like that, but just the good of the world is not given to us by shit, by stuff, by zeros in your credit account. And also, you have to have checked out of a technology at some point. Like, you can't be on the hedonic treadmill of like, the iPhone 11 is coming out and it will save us all. It's not about when you tap out. It's that you can. It's that you're like if the next thing is like putting a chip in your hand or fucking, you know, you're like, no, I'm done. And if you're capable of being like, yeah, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I thought it was bad. That's the whole thing. Because it's not about exactly which technology is the worst for you. Because back in Plato's day, when people first started writing down words, they thought the world was going to end. Because they're like, you know, it's the spoken world. And they had a point. Spelling has magic in it. You know, the verbal word is much better than the written word, in my opinion. But every generation sees the new technology is taking something from them, and it does. But you can get it back when you just stop defining yourself by convenience. That the struggle of life, the connecting to the struggle and not the convenience with things, at that point you're free. And you're still technically a slave to like your social security number and all that. I'm not saying you're like free to like just be sovereign and shit, but you're free. You're real free. Because human currency is the value. That's why when I hear about abortion and shit like that, I'm like, they'll abort their baby because they're scared they wouldn't be able to work. Unreal. I know mothers that make, like, let's say you make $27 an hour. And so they pay $20 an hour for a babysitter so they can go back to work. They're giving up motherhood for $7 net an hour. And the amount of medical bills and that will come with a child raised without a mother, and also the child's less likely to care for you when you're old. It's like, it's fucking insane. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Like, you can give Amish money and they're like, all right, jump it all out. It's like, women don't even understand how fucking crazy that is. If they just stopped and thought about it, it's not that they're evil, it's that their head's filled with noise. Where it's like, if they just stopped and thought, okay, I'm only making $7 an hour, and what's the price of having a stranger raise my son? You know, and people are like, well, we can't afford it because we can't afford it because we need two incomes. I'm like, dude, would you like me to go through your expenses and tell you what you need and what you don't need? Would you like me to show you how expensive it is to have a child that wasn't raised by their parents, that was raised by a Facebook screen? Would you like to see how much money it'll cost later in life to take care of this kid because they're unable to get their own job or function? Would you like to see how they treat you when you're 70? They'll put you in the same little box you put them. $7 an hour? Can you imagine? It's not even profitable. It's a net loss, even financially. Maybe women can't do math. Exactly, the love of money. It's the love of money. It's saying we want more money instead of that. It's called greed or lusting for money, and it is a sin. Right. It's why we can function with money and not become beast-like. Because it's not using money. It's loving it. It's not seeing the true currencies. You know, like, I would make more fiat money if I scared you people a little every day, or if I didn't let people upload my videos on YouTube, or if I didn't upload them to Podbean. The scarcity would cause my fiat to go up. And the little bit of scare I do to you guys would make you act. as much as we don't want to admit it, it's true in just about everybody where if you say, you know, something's coming, horror, 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 everything's falling apart unless you, people do shit. And I find that to be really bad. And so I've decided, and I did this instinctively, but now I know this to be true and why logically, that the value of having a group that isn't constantly fucking freaked out or, you know, thinking that like I'm withholding gravy is way better because you can see in the chat, you can see in the trust, you can see in people building from each other. That if it was about me as Smaug the Dragon trying to extract as much fiat from you guys as possible, it would hurt the community. There'd be more people here because drama makes the fucking clown world go round, but it wouldn't be good. And so because of me doing that over this time, one very good thing that's happened is when things do go south or when I am deplatformed or when we are fundraising for shit, people just do it because they know it's real. How many people do you think are still going to buy Steven Crowder's fucking mug? You know, how many people are going to be like, oh, he's a bent again, can't damn YouTube again? I mean, the baby boomers will because they were so heavily traumatized their entire life. But like, how do you even live like that? Withholding gravy is the funniest saying concept. Yeah, I will never withhold gravy. Because the good thing about what happens with trust is I get what I need. Not just exponential growth. You know, it's like I'm provided for. Like we're good. You know, and that's the different concept. It's like the bad state of mind is that you want never-ending growth. It's not about how much you make. What's the right answer? I don't know. It's that you don't always need more, more, more. There's people that are worth, I'm not exaggerating, $1 billion. No. A trillion. But like the richer you go, the more you see the sickness where not only is it never enough, they get more empty with every dollar to the point where if they only had a billion, but it didn't grow anymore, they would feel like the world was fucking falling apart because that they love money. And so sometimes when you see the ultra rich or the people doing fear porn and all that shit, you know, the emptiness that causes it. But again, support the channel, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 93.35. You want to send me some gravel for my babble. But like the fact that we've been persecuted and we do have a solid base and stuff, the fact that we've established this P.O. Box as a way to support the channel makes me way stronger. Like think about how many things they can't take away. Like the P.O. Box is so Amish. It's so like, well, we will limit your algorithm, people won't see. And then I'm like, dude, I use a fucking P.O. box. Let's check back in 10 years. We'll see who's more stable. I have thousands of addresses. I can send out newsletters if I needed to. If I got kicked off the World Wide Web. Isn't it weird that World Wide Web is less syllables than www? Such a fucking gay little abbreviation. But it's like supplies to the front. Yeah, and you guys love this podcast. It's not just like support the band comedian. It isn't like just morality. It's like you want the fucking podcast. Most podcasts are terrible. You want to listen to Ben Shapiro just endlessly talk about herd immunity and how we need to go to more wars and how it's everything's the left. You want to listen to the fucking Hollywood podcast about your cis white male privilege and shit. How many are left where you hear things that aren't insane, you know, and the differences in how we see the world doesn't really matter. It's whether or not you think someone's a liar. You know, like one of the big dividers in a lot of people would be like the shape of the earth. You know, the fact that I think the earth is a flat plane makes people fucking spiral, you know, and some people are like, well, what does Vox believe? Me and Vox never talk about it. He doesn't think the world's flat. We don't talk about it, and he doesn't care at all. Our difference that is more jarring is how we view shoes. Like Vox likes nice shoes. When we're hanging out in Spain, I was wearing these dirty, like, untied shoes. And that was way more of a dividing issue than how I view the shape of the earth. Because the key is, do you think the person's lying? If yes, doesn't matter what they can believe almost every single thing you believe, but there's no fucking value in it all. And also, is the person victim narrative? You want your friends, you want to be able to trust that what your friend says is true, they believe it's true, and that when shit hits the fan, they'll be there with a baseball bat or with fucking, they'll just be there for you when you need them. If those two things are true, you can have very close friendships with people that you don't agree with. Other than that, I mean, it's more fundamentally different how me and Vox see footwear. I see shoes as like dirty whores. That's like, yeah, their whole point is just to get dirty and just fuck this. I mean, they're shoes. They're just, they're shoes. And he's like, you know, he's got that Italian vibe of like really nice shoes. I don't think the world is round or flat. It seems more like a top. I think it's a flat plane. I know it's not a spinning ball. But I can't prove it's a flat plane, but that's my assumption at this point. But it's not a friendship ender. The friendship ender is like, if you think it's flat, you're crazy and stupid. Or something that people endlessly want to talk about and debate with you. That's it. And so I think it's a good little lesson to understand that a guy I talk to every single day, a business partner, a friend, someone that our relationship is based completely on trust and morality and culture. We disagree on that, but we don't even fucking care at all because it's not a thing. Like one of my good buddies that I talk to all the time, he understands economics so well, is real Muslim, like intensely Muslim. And I'm very Christian. Doesn't bother either one of us because we're not like, we both kind of secretly think like, well, when the truth is revealed, you'll see. And that's it. If you trust that the other person will be honest when something's revealed, it doesn't matter. You know, I have more in common with him than a Christian who lives a victim narrative who thinks that we have to support Israel to destroy the world and bring Jesus back. That's it. I burned profile in the soul. You can even tell in videos from an airplane the land is flat. Yeah, but it could be something we don't even understand. See, it's not that I'm like, oh, it could be the spinning ball. If it is, I can't see one. Every single thing says it's not. But I'm leaving my mind open to it's something that I have never even thought of. But there's no curve and there's no movement. But other than that, it's like I don't want to just jump into another dogma. Real interesting, though, to think about. And I enjoy thinking about it. Like here's a perfect example of a conspiracy thing that I just kind of let simmer. I let the gravy simmer on the back burner, and I don't really care. Ole Ali is really into shoes. Well, he showed what shoes are. My gut says the curve comes from the firmament. I don't know. At this point, I don't know how people cling to a ball. I don't either, but I don't care. Unless it's causing a division in our relationship, like it causes resentment or anything like that, I don't, like woke raping, like when you're like, dude, I'll show you 50 proofs right now. It's just like, I think if you really care about how you view the world and you want others to think like you, the best thing to do is just to be a really good guy and just openly say what you believe and just let people come to their own conclusions. That's the most effective, because if you go at somebody, that'll shut them down. Anyway, so Mandela effect, right? I know it happens. Like, I know that it was, in my mind, it was mirror, mirror on the wall. And right now they say it's magic mirror. I know that the gay robot in Star Wars was all gold. And now they say there's a silver leg, right? Okay. So at this point, everybody's like, and like Franco Colombo. Now they say it's Franco Colombo. You know, I know those things changed in my mind. Now, some people say that there is fluid reality, it's CERN, it's all this stuff. I can't, there's zero evidence to me that any of that is true. So when I say, you know, and some people, other people say it's, they can scrub the internet and change everything, but it's not. Like you can see these things, like even in old VHS tapes and stuff, it's changed. So the reason I don't really care, because it feels like a trick. And it's one of these poison gravy binaries where if you say it doesn't exist, everybody who's experienced it gets really angry. It's like, I know that the girl in Jaws had braces. Like half my friends joked about it. But if you say it isn't, if you say it doesn't exist, but if you say it exists and the world is fluid, other people get angry because they're like, there's no other evidence that the world's fluid, right? So my current assumption, because there's no evidence, it's my gut for CERN says, and I have no evidence for this, is it's not opening portals or changing shit or anything, because everybody is acting like CERN is this thing. It's almost like the spooky house on the hill, where the longer you stare at the spooky house on the hill, the more you come up with like, oh, it's a skeleton, and on the full moon, and you're just looking at a fucking house. It could have just been a guy who left and no one bought it. My assumption for CERN is that it's rich grabblers who think they can change the world with science, which we know isn't true because science is based on lies. And then scientists who will do and say anything for funding, and they humiliate themselves for funding. And so I'm sure there's people that think that CERN will open up portals and change shit and they can become God and all that. What I know is they can't become God. What I know is that science is based on so many lies that at this point they're accomplishing literally nothing. So to me, it feels like a giant LARP. Like the scientists will do their fucking weird Satan dances and stuff and build all this tech. And it's just funded because their incentive is to get money. And this is how they get money. And so then they start believing it, and the grabber is like, oh, it's kind of, in reality, I think it's nothing. So that's what my logic says CERN is. Now, could they be opening, I do believe in multi-dimensions, by the way. I think there's more dimensions. I think there's things we can't possibly imagine, but CERN makes no sense. And one thing I know about really elite physicists is they'll warp the math to make them get the grants. They're not honorable people. What do I know about grabblers with a lot of funding? They want to be God and change the world in ways that is not possible. CERN's main agenda is probably to disperse fear. Maybe. Yeah, it's like Georgia Guidestones. Think about how much fear that spread for how little money. You know, people are like, they cost $15 million and they say the world population would be 500,000. It's like, that's one of the cheapest fear machines I've ever seen. There's no evidence. Who did it? We don't know. How are they going to kill all the people? We don't know, which makes it even scarier. It's like when the lack of evidence becomes not only evidence, but more evidence, bail. So my current view of Mandela effect is that until I see it in my life, like until my birthday changes or the spelling of my mother's middle name changes or the color of my bike that was stolen by a black man when I was 9 changes, it seems to me like it's a trick by the media somehow. Because so far it appears to me that it has to be a mass thing. It has to be something that everyone knows about. And over the course of years, there's a way they can alter our memories. But the real world, in my view, has never been changed. Like I've had a million Mandela effects in pop culture, like geography, like how the Panama Canal looks, or where the heart is. You know, I always thought the heart was on the left side. Now it's like in the middle. Who will save your souls instead of soul by Jewel? You know, Queen, one of their songs completely changed. Like there's all kinds of this shit, but like, I'm not jumping to the world is fluid because there's no evidence to that at all. There's more evidence to me that our minds have back doors in them that can be manipulated by mass media hypnosis techniques. Because nobody's ever put a lot of effort into Mandela affecting like my mother's middle name or my first dog's name or what street I lived on and shit, because it's supposed to be a mass thing. And I think the point of Mandela, this is just my assumptions based on what I know in my life. The point of Mandeli is for is to make people think that the world is fake and to scare people. Because things have changed in our minds. Like, if you build it, he will come. Or if you build it, they will come. Like, that shit. Or, like, Interview with the Vampire. Or, like, little things like that. Like, Berenstain Bears, and now it's Berenstain Bears. You know, and even the books have changed. I'm waiting for a Mandeli effect to affect something that only I know. And as soon as that happens, then I'll start getting a little freaked out. But I, zero in my life. I was always like, why? Why do they change things? Or maybe they just lie so much they forget their lies. Here, that's where I tap out. I don't know at all at that point. I have theories. And this is the thing, is my mind works more scientific than the scientists. I want a control group. I don't even know how you would find this control group where someone watched Star Wars in 1980 and they have not been exposed to any media since. And I would like to know what how they remember the gay robot's leg. Oh, no, is it? You're fucking. Yeah, no, it's real. Admit it's real. No, I'm telling you something that I want to see. And if at that point, if Mandeli affected, like, let's say somebody watched Star Wars and then they were not exposed to one bit of mass propaganda or media or the flicker rates of our TVs or any of this shit, and they just lived in a jungle. The residue evidence is overwhelming. Right, but see, the residue evidence may be the trick. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's a real phenomenon. My mind knows that the gay robot was all gold, and now there's a fucking silver leg. And there's, like, little things where someone will take a picture with the gay robot, like, 10 years ago, and it's all gold or something. Like, there's weird residues and stuff, right? I understand that, but all of it is within mass pop media culture, right? All of it. Every single Mandeli effect. There isn't one that doesn't involve a famous person, a movie, a mass marketed book, yada yada. And they're everywhere. You know, Luke, I'm your father, all that shit. Like, all these big things are like, what was the Silence of the Lamb one? Where it was like, I can't remember. But it's there. It was all gold. Right. In my mind, in reality, it's all gold. It's not making me not trust my mind. Because not one has ever happened in my life. It was always gold. In my mind too, Jiu-Jitsu Bear. Okay, if they say my mom's middle name is Gary now, and my mom's like, yeah, it's always been Gary. At that point, I'll be like, what the fuck is CERN? But so far, there isn't one single one that's in our life where our hands, our eyes, our ears witnessed it that wasn't mass. C-3PO was part silver only in the scene where he was still being built. All other... No. Guys, Franco Colombo is now Franco Colombi. I'm not kidding. They now say his name always had a U in the end. And then there's like little things here and there where there's still an O. It's fucking freaky, right? It's something that can definitely make you think the world's insane. But logically speaking, nothing in our life, like the street you live on doesn't just get a U at the end. It all has to do with something that can be mass propagandized. Oh, and you make me laugh so hard. Oh, thank you. Remember Star Wars? BB, the silver leg was due to inflation of the dollar. That's great. See, that's how I simmer gravy. Like, so the pot of gravy that's boiling is like NASA. Like, I got evidence. I got shit. I got things I can, like. The simmering gravy is for when I don't even know where to start with something. And then I start making some ideas of what it could possibly be. And, like, is it true in my life at all? And if not, I let the gravy simmer until there's more information. Because what I see a lot of times with conspiracies is the lack of information becomes the person's imagination, you know? But it also, people who just deny the Mandeli effect are either lying or just terrified of the possibility that the world is fucking crazy. You know, like if someone's like, oh no, it's always been Franco Colombi. It's like... No, it hasn't. BB, he was all gold other than the first scene. You're missing my point. I mean, okay, I'll give you another one. Fucking, I don't care. I literally don't care. Now they have him always be silver leg always. Even in the movies, he'll have a silver leg if you have like a DVD and shit. It's weird. It's a waste of time until there's more information given. Hang on, what did Made by Jim Bob say? The transition to all digital info makes the manipulation possible. Right, but your physical, like Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain, A-I-N. Our books have changed. Now, knowing what I know about wizardry, magic, and hypnotism, the book didn't change. No one climbed in your the Mossad didn't climb in your house and change out your Berenstain Bear book. Our mind does have back doors to manipulation with hypnotism, alpha state, alpha waves and shit. And that makes people feel really uncomfortable. They're like, no, my brain doesn't get manipulated. It can be. I've seen it. I've seen hypnotists do it. And it's kind of weird. But until it happens in my life, I just assume that it's Grabber's playing little jokes. MacGyver was rescued with the Berenstain. The Berenstain swap to me was the big one. Yeah. And this is another thing. Some are highly affected. Like even people that that admit they were affected on some Mandela effects will say other ones are like, oh no, I always remembered it as Columbia or something. And that makes me think that it depends on what type of media hypnotism you were exposed to. And at that point, I don't know. If I make any assumptions, it opens the door to being like mad at me because I clearly don't know. All right, the biggest one for me is definitely Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. And now they say it was not only never Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, it was always Magic Mirror on the Wall. Always. Like, that's fucking insane. Magic Mirror on the Wall. Who's the most beautiful of them? I don't even know, but everybody knows it was Mirror, Mirror. It was never Magic Mirror on the Wall. But again, do I think the actual world is fluid and changeable by a bunch of LARPing freaks at CERN? No. It feels to me like a fucking hypnotist trick. I'm sure you can find an original. The Amish have no Mandela. I guarantee the Amish have no Mandela. I would like to go to the Amish, but see, they don't know who C-3PO is and shit. 100% Mirror, Mirror. Right. But again, like, the assumption that scientists can change the nature of the world seems to me like the point of the hypnotism. Because there's no other fucking evidence for that at all. CERN is just a big anus for globe sodomites to probe. Yeah, I know people that have worked there, and it seems so much like the Skinner box or the box that lets you know that a light bounces off the moon and it just beeps. Everyone's like, proof there's mirrors on the moon. The God particle. Guys, it's all bullshit. No, I know it was always Mirror, Mirror on the Wall in my mind. And I'm not crazy because not one thing in my life has changed. The assumption that some human has the ability of changing reality itself, there's zero evidence for that. None. Amish don't partake in mass media, so no Mandela. Right, but the problem with that is they don't know the original thing. Like when you're like, did Mandela die in prison or after he was freed? And the Amish are like, who is Mandela? Churn the butter, Betsy. So that's why the group I need doesn't exist. It's someone who saw the original or was part of the original news item or movie and never watched media again. You know? Guys, there's a ton of them that are weird. Just fucking weird. Just weird. And some are like Interview with a Vampire is now Interview with the Vampire. It used to be Interview with a Vampire. And you will have art. Like, artists obsessed with the movie, and they, like, will write Interview with a Vampire, not the. And so there's, like, two views of the world based on these dumb little details. And it only exists in pop culture, though. So that's why, in my humble opinion, there's absolutely zero evidence that our actual reality is being manipulated. Turn the butter, Betsy. That's insane. It was Mirror, Mirror, trippy. Right, but see, let the gravy simmer. Your first instinct could be like, oh my God, they're changing my memories. No. It feels like an odd mental phenomenon when you're bombarded with tons and tons of alpha state hypnotism from media. And that's it. It's, if one, the day I fucking get measured at the doctor and I'm 5'5", is the day I'll be like, CERN's crazy. But no, nothing in my life that isn't mass has been changed. Except for things that, like, I don't really remember that well. But the power of suggestion is insane, guys. It's insane. I'm actually part of that group, BB. I stopped watching TV like 15 years ago. Okay, so let's think about it. What's some stuff we want to ask for Pear Bear? What's your opinion on the silver leg with C-3PO? Love the Christmas card. God bless. Oh, thank you very much. I'll open a little mail and then I'll get out of here. Find an Amish guy on Rumspringa in 1980 and then saw Star Wars once. See, that's why this is so funny. When you stop being scared, it's insanely funny. It's like, okay, who's the one guy we need? Be like, this one guy went into a coma right after watching Star Wars. Gaddafi is Carlos Santana. Crazier than C-3PO's leg. I mean, I need more info on that. I mean, listen, I know a lot of crazy shit's possible, but that level of gravy, I'd need more ladling. All right, here we go. I got a letter. Demar Bear, my 3CPO is all gold. Toe Rogan is... Yeah, like, if tomorrow Toe Rogan is 6'8", I'll be like, BB, in the 90s, a stand-up comedian made a joke. What was the guy who invented the vibrator thingy? If you build it, they will come. In my memory, it's if you build it, they will come. But I will watch a DVD, not from the internet, and it's all now it's always been if you build it, he will come. Sex in the City or Sex and the City, right? My whole life is Sex in the City. I remember mocking it on stage. I remember all that shit. Now it's Sex and the City. Again, this is how you can navigate this. Enjoy the Mandelieu. Talk about it, but not get freaked out. It's because it never happens in your life. It's almost God's way of telling you what matters. You know? All right. Go to the third world country and you can still find the original copies on sale. Because it's otherwise a waste of energy. And this whole battle is energy. It's where our attention goes, where our heart goes, our fear, our energy, our vibration. That's the whole battle. So if this thing makes you feel scared and like nothing makes sense and nothing matters, it worked. If not, you're good. Simmer the gravy. Yes, both silver and gold legs were very gay. And a red leg. But I always grew up knowing it was the lion. I know, that one freaks me out too. But... I don't know. I mean, again, the Bible is something everyone knows. Well, not everyone, obviously, but it's a mass thing. And it's like that's what I think makes these things happen. It's something that they can meme or embed in other shit and like just change your mind, you know? I remember it was called Gay Guys, but now it's called Top Gun. I remember it was just called... gay porno with no penetration. This is all spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Maybe it's just another way to distract us. The Mandelieu effect. Yeah, I don't know. It might be a really elaborate hypnotic psyop. It also might be the result of things I don't understand at all. No monocle on the Monopoly guy. I know. It's freaky. It's a freaky phenomenon. Hey, Big Bear, thanks for the Christmas card. I really do appreciate it. I need to confess, BB, I'm 6 feet tall with strong Bavarian heritage, and I stole several bikes when I was a kid. I feel bad. I'm asking Jesus to be forgiven. I would take them apart and combine the best pieces into a new super bike. See, that's why I know you're a bike owner. See, a bike thief would never feel bad or make a super bike. I could ride fast, really fast. I never got caught. It's just tough to see a bike owner stoop so low. And BB, I also built dinosaurs in a large natural science museum. I would ask, hey, where are the dinosaur bones? You know, the real ones? They would point to the shoulder at this tiny piece covered in lead paint and say, there it is. Guys, that's all real. Most of these museums, there's one bone that's tiny that's covered in lead paint, and that's the only real one. and everything else is fake. It's like, well, you could go to a museum and see all the shoes, and that shows you exactly how many rollerbladers died in the incident. It's like, no, it's a pile of shoes. No, but imagine who wore the shoes, and now imagine that they're all dead. That's how they fucking get us, because we're creators, right? Human beings are imaginative, creative, wonderful beings. And so in our minds, we can start creating stories and ideas and homesteads and jokes and music and drawing. They get you where it's like, here's a shoe. Tell me the story. And they're like, wow, it's a Jew. And they burned the Jew and then made a lamp out of skin. They're like, yes, yes. And they're just writing it down. In reality, it's like the evidence is it's a pile of shoes. The evidence for the dinosaur is one little tiny bone covered in lead paint. And so when you find yourself, like I saw that with this Kobe Bryant thing where it's like the thing went down. It's like, I can picture the, his 13-year-old daughter screaming and whore as the flames and Kobe in his last moments. I'm like, guys, this is all from a fucking 2 mile away picture with a little smoke in it. You're imagining all of it. It's like, but I see the horror on a child's face. And I'm like, dude, you didn't witness that. You're creating your own trauma. You're creating your own prison. And this isn't me like new agey, like imagine the world and it will be yours. That isn't it. It's literally like, what do you know? That's a pile of shoes. What do you know? It's a tiny little bone covered in lead paint. Where's the rest of the fucking bones? You can't see them. I mean, Mandela. And that's when you go, nah, I'm not buying it. And then the other side is when it's like, they made the great dinosaurs just so that we all, you know, it was setting up the psyop for the real dinosaurs to come back when the CERN opened. And it's like, you don't know any of that. You're right now, you might as well be fucking Stephen King, coked out in a cabin writing a book about a clown. All right. Today's a good episode. I feel like I'm being fairly funny. Berenstain, perhaps the Mandela effect is just to make us question everything. That's on the table. That's definitely on the the goal of evil is to make you scared, distrusting, and alone, not grateful for God, not seeing patterns. Dude, the Mandela effect covers all that shit unless you just see it as odd and wonder if it will ever affect your life because then you'll understand. You know, when you... who benefits from the Mandela? It's like nobody's ever like, oh, the Mandela effect. Man, I feel a lot more grateful and just safe and I'm going to have kids because that makes the world seem more welcoming. And I'm not being in denial. Guys, I remember Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, but it's like every one of them is controlled by the media. Every single thing, whether it's the print media, Berenstain Bears, every one of them has been mass marketed. It's all from the media. And that tells you something. It tells you something about the nature of it. And whether or not, dude, identify the anger binary and identify what the effect is and how much you actually know, and then just simmer it. And it could also just be nothing. It could be like an odd phenomenon that happens when really quotable movie lines go mass market, go like in merch and fucking they're parodied in Wayne's World. Because sometimes people will be like, it was parodied in Wayne's World, so it must be true. It's like, maybe that's the cause. My mother's middle name has never been parodied in Wayne's World, and it hasn't changed. And I'm being logical, guys. Don't get mad at me because I won't be woke about how CERN is changing your dick size. The minute I look at my own dick and it's a different size, I'll Google CERN. They would point to the shoulder. I believe them, and I would go back to building fake dinosaurs. My kids love the fact that their dad built dinosaurs, so I helped with the lie. Buddy, I worked for Hollywood. You're fine. Feeling better, River Bear. I know, sometimes people are like, I helped make dinosaurs. I can't live with myself. I'm like, I worked for Hollywood. Hollywood has done more damage than the fucking military-industrial complex to the world. Way more. Like, I might as well have been... You know, like, if you look at a soldier, like, think about how hard it is for a soldier who fought a war based on fake information, killed a bunch of people that they probably would have been buddies with based on fake information. They realize this when they're home, and boom, they're like, what have I done? I swear to God, guys, what Hollywood does is not only debatably worse, but like Hollywood has made it so girls want to be whores. You know, people laugh at horror. You know, people are fucking their memories have been distorted into whatever Spielberg wants. It's like, I took money. I didn't know. This is why you can not get mad at yourself. It's, did you know? If you knew there were fake dinosaurs and you were like dazzling your kids with it, then you got some shit coming. But at the time I was in Hollywood, and I know I was making people happier and relieving their stress at my shows and stuff, but I didn't know that there were hidden hands and forces using my talent to dismantle morality in America. Like, if you look big picture, it's like, yeah, that vet feels horrible because he killed like 9 innocent guys or 15 guys. And it's like, starts doing fucking heroin and shit. He can't live with himself. But he actually got to see the blood and stuff. If you're part of Hollywood, you might have led to like tens of millions of abortions. Like everybody in Hollywood is pushing abortion rights, whether they know it or not, just by not talking about it, just by the fact that there's zero dissent to abortion, you're part of that. And I was part of that. That's why when people are like, I can't live with myself, I'm like, dude, I was part of the Hollywood machine. Just because I couldn't see the blood or the baby parts, it's more powerful because it was about your mind. Owen, Big Picture Benjamin? Yeah, I am Big Picture Benjamin. I know it's more visceral when you see the blood, and you see the bombs, and you see all that shit. But if you really just weigh it out, like weigh out what has been done. And the only saving grace for me is at no point did I think I was hurting anyone. Like, my passion in life has always been to relieve stress. And if you watch my entire career, that my comedy's always been that. It's never been agenda driven. But I mean, I was still part of it. And I profited from it. New song, That Nazi Stole My Bike, still the N-word. That's funny. But the word Nazi is so odd. Let's open a couple more and then we'll call it a day. De Mandeli? BB was modern SS Hollywood? I was more like, I wasn't SS. I would be like, I don't know, man. That story is so graveled, I don't even know how to mock the World War II narrative. All right. Yo, BB, what's up, brother? I've consumed so much of your content over the past year, it's time for me to throw you a few bones. Keep doing your thing. You are the real fucking hilarious. Keep crushing. I'm 21 Rogans. I'm a bike owner, also professional bike mechanic. Nice. Nice. Living in Baltimore City, I found you on YouTube when you went flat earth. I am pro silica trees like all the rest of your buddies that go deep. My jury's out on the tree thing. There's something going on with it. Like, some of these mountains do look exactly like trees in their shapes that... Okay, this is where I am on that. The mainstream narrative is absolutely fake. Lava flows don't become like hexagonal silica shapes that run for miles. But at that point, I'm out. And I don't make any bones about being out. It's like, oh no, you got to go all the way with it. I'm like, as soon as I feel my imagination kicking in, I'm like, I stick with like dinosaurs and nuclear bombs and holocausts. Like, things that are so fucking obvious. There's so much about our history that would, I guarantee it would be like unbelievably interesting that I can't know. And once I find myself being like, well, the lack of information means it was a 50-mile tree. I'm like, I'm not against it, but I can't get there with people. Would be amazing, but I don't know. All right. Dear Owen, I'll get right to it. A year ago, I was ousted from my job by several women who were hired to replace me, despite none of them having any experience or knowledge of how to do the job. Well, as long as they're not mothers, the grabber wins again. That was me, not the letter. I was betrayed by one woman in particular who I had previously helped greatly when she was going through some difficulty. No good deed goes unpunished. Nevertheless, I took this as an opportunity. Well, women don't have the same instincts of tribe and honor and stuff like that as men. It's neither good or bad. It just isn't. Women have to adapt and backstab way faster than men because of what they need to do in life, you know, and in history and in rapes and conquests and shit. So it's not good. They just shouldn't be there. Like these women being pumped in have no place there. And so, of course, they're going to act completely irrational because they are terrible in hierarchies. It's like when a man helps out another man, they're like, okay, I'll have your bag next. When a woman does that, they're still looking at like, is she prettier? Is she a threat? It's fucking weird. Women can have deep friendships, but it isn't in like a work environment. Nevertheless, I took this as an opportunity rather than a crisis. These women thought they wanted to send their lines, sending pointing emails and going to nonsense meetings in gray concrete buildings. I always hated that prison. So I took my opportunity and I jumped over the wall and ran. I've been on an adventure since then. Over the summer, I built a cabin and installed a solar power system. Right, you were freed. You were freed by nonsense. I would be glad to help or advise if you want to do the same. Well, Weiss has a solar thing going on, but he says I won't be able to do it because of where I live, because all the clouds. But then again, Weiss is genetically a grabbler, but his soul is not grabbled. Then when I finished that, I began to write. I started a video channel called Eternal Extrapolations, where I explain a lot of connections between things. I think there may be some information that relates to Antarctica, which no one else knows, for example. I also made it... Well, what's the information? Never leave the biscuit ungravied as I'm reading your letter. I don't like cliffhangers. I don't know if that's supposed to promote a channel, but if you have Antarctica gravy, don't like make us like yearn for it because you don't say it. Anyway, I also made a place where I could post some of my writings called extrapolations.blog. I wrote a piece there called What Is There to Fear? I like where your head's at. Not to flatter you, but to nail my colors to the mast. You helped me greatly by reminding me to keep going and never give in to the victimhood. I want you to keep going in truth and sincerity. Colin, External Extrapolations. Yeah, I mean, when you become a victim, you lose. Taylor Swift, who I'm pretty sure is a dude, recently got Woman of the Decade, and the entire speech was about how everyone... the fact that she couldn't buy her songs is because of patriarchy and how everyone she's fueled by hate and how everyone that didn't think she could do it is why she gets out of bed in the morning. She was a bitter, cynical little cunt and it's not working anymore. People know that you can literally be the most famous pop singer in the entire world worth billions and billions of dollars and the emptiness is radiating like a fucking theoretical black hole. And so when you become a victim, when you say, it's because of my race. Like for me, I was always like, I can't get a job because my cock is too big. I'm just kidding. But you know, that just made you smile. Everybody can be a victim. Everybody. Taylor Swift, who was born, whose dad is a giant record executive, was given everything. Her songs suck, but she has all these fans. She's a bitter bitch. She's probably a dude. And it's like, so that victim ticket is there. If you get like fired from a horrible job, that isn't like victim status. That's like, yes. Guys, when I was like rising in Hollywood, I was eating off the plates of the rich as a busboy. I was basically garbage picking. And I look back, it was one of the best times of my entire life. Taylor Swift, more like Taylor Grift. Am I right? Guyington Bear, I'm removing your wrench. I can't wait for the dedicated gravy stream on Taylor Swift. It's not even worth it. I mean, I'm 90% sure at one point that was a dude. Don't care. It's a world I despise. I'd rather just read awesome letters like this and talk about the Illuminamish. You know, I get fascinated by shit for a while when it's really valuable for people to see it. And then it just becomes like, hey, look, another celeb that used to have a dick. Man, the best is when you're just like, fuck him. Zappa owned his own master tapes. Yeah, so did Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson bought all the Beatles masters, and then he mysteriously died of a drug overdose. Middle Earth gravy is where it's at beneath God's throne. Right, that's why I'm more about saying it's not a spinning ball than I am about what it is, because I now am back to that state of wonder. I do get a little testy sometimes, where I'm like, admit, it's flat. But that's only because, from my point of view, I'm called stupid and crazy so much that sometimes when people don't see what I'm responding to, I just look like a dick. Taylor is an androgynous name to begin with. Yeah, Taylor at one point had a dick. Maybe still does. Who knows? They didn't snip Michelle's dick or Wendy Williams. They still have front bumps. Dave, peace out. Watch out for Amish Mafia. I'm fine. The Amish Jebediah? I'm a 32-year-old from Iowa living right next to Mississippi River. Legendary fishing, great mushrooms in spring, and hunting for hunters. I have yet to go hunting, so I spend my time on trails and exploring the limestone sediment bluffs along the river. I've been watching since your leave from Hollywood and made your rounds to all the conservative media platforms I was watching at the time. Looking back, I can see the excitement in them thinking they had a person on their side from Hollywood while Ben Shapiro is rubbing his hands. Unknown to them, you're legit and mean what you say. I know. Their greed is what fucked them over. They're like, yes, we got a Hollywood person to justify our wars. Yes. Yes, and meanwhile, the entire time, I'm like just an honest person. And so once I realized what they were up to, I'm guessing, looking back, they wouldn't have had me on. And it's their thirst that got them. You expose the hypocrisy in the conservative movement, talking heads. You crush wizards, and it was needed. One of my favorite streams of you is when you break down Bernays and explain how rhetoric can be used to basically cast spells. Yes. I really don't like despair or pity, but when I was 14, my mom passed in her sleep out of nowhere, and I never knew my dad, so my grandma took me in. I put her through hell, and she has always been there for me. I got into drugs early and ended up hooked on fentanyl and heroin on top of being an ass that was an atheist and horribly behaved. I have been clean now for 7 years, thanks to God and my grandma. I'm blessed to be alive. I had 4 hospitalized overdoses by 19, so I try to see the positive. My oldest brother passed 3 years ago in February from alcohol poisoning at 36. My mom was 36 too, so a little fear there being 32, but I made it through that trauma with no escape back to drugs. And that's huge, by the way. If you didn't relapse with your brother's death, buddy, that's big. That's big. Massive chaos and explosions of emotion is a big addiction trigger. So the fact you didn't do that is big. End of the negativity. I want to thank you for a lot of the community or fellow bears to where I don't feel isolated in this gravy. You're pretty much my only screen content. Also inspire me to better my life and being more humble. Currently, I'm a caregiver for my grandma who now has Parkinson's. There was a brief moment I can embarrassingly say I felt bothered because my plans of moving to Colorado I put on hold because no one else in the family would step up. I'm ashamed I had those feelings. Now I thank God for being blessed to spend this time with her. Oh, I love it, man. So I'm just trying to make her life happier while I make my something base and structure more solid. Dude, what people think is like a roadblock is sometimes the event that saves your life. It's unbelievable every time I see it. It's like, I thought it was going to, you know, I was devastated, and then it realized that that's why I'm not dead. It happens all the time. No nursing home for her, and she still has a lot of spark. Grew up on a farm, so has knowledge to offer and makes raised bed gardens this year and loves animals. So got a coop and getting 3 chickens. We both watch your piano streams. She loves them. Me too. Keep crushing. God bless you and Charlie and Walter. Oh, and you're soon to be. You're doing great, kid. From Olives Bear. Olives Bear. Love you, buddy. For real. That was just... There's more news, truth, and education in these letters than there is on television. Like, what that dude just explained to you, they won't show you in the media. It's like, the value is the people in your life. It's not Honda. It's not fucking Kim Kardashian's fake fat ass. Those things are retarded, guys. If you have to take care of a family member, you just got blessed. Because it'll stop the nonsense. Dear Big Bear, hello again. Leo Bear, by the way, thanks for the gravel, Leo Bear. Reporting from Ireland. I hope I find you well. You mentioned recently on one of your streams about the Irish not electing a gay Indian. This is true. He was put there in 2017 by his political friends after the leader of the governing party stepped down. Elections are taking place in a few weeks, so hopefully that will be changed. Yes, it should be changed. Anyway, it won't matter because they usually end up all the same in the end. Right, but having a gay Indian as your leader in Ireland is extra humiliating to the rest of the world. It's just like, oh, they're fucked up. Like, fuck, you know? It's just, like, when Obama was our president, like, the Chinese were like, ugh. They're like, oh, America, so cock. And it's not that, like, one group's good or bad. Imagine if it was, like, a female Jewish lesbian was the president of Indonesia. Wouldn't you be like, oh, weak. They're weak. All right. Recently, you also mentioned, oh, as for me, I will continue to pay my taxes and provide for my family, so no despair. Yes, exactly. Just sit back and enjoy the show, guys. The revealing is incredible when you see it for what it is. It's not that, like, oh, great, the future is just going to be everyone's gay. No. People are not trusting institutions anymore. They're not falling for lies and letting people suck their life away. It's like, the win is knowing that you are forced to pay taxes, but it isn't good. For most of American history, they're like, I'm a proud taxpayer because it goes to building the infrastructure and the future of America. No one thinks that now. And that's the win. The money itself isn't valuable. That's being nice. I get the arguments. I'm telling you, it isn't. The value is that you now know that paying for trans teaching at public school and dropping bombs on just random countries isn't good. And because of that, their power is so fucking limited. They need to make you do it. History is so grabbled. They don't tell you what has to be done before, like, crazy tyranny. It has, like, you have to, like, beg for it. They can't just do it to you. Recently, you also mentioned not knowing much about Northern Ireland. Well, here's a funny story that connects Bobby Sands, MP, and the Prime Minister of Iran. In the early 80s, the year is 1981, and Bobby Sands and nine other prisoners are on hunger strike in H Block Prison in County Antrim, Northern Ireland, protesting for political status. On May 5th of that year, Bobby Sands died. Around that time, Britain were gaining profit from the oil in Iran and were having a bit of trouble with the then Iranian prime minister. Next page, please. No problem. Some gravy here. Who wanted to nationalize its resources. So allegedly, the prime minister of Britain contacted the president of the U.S. to have the CIA take out the Iranian prime minister. Allegedly, of course. But because the people of Iran, along with the government officials, really liked the prime minister of Iran, decided to give a fuck you to the British government by renaming the street outside the British embassy in Tehran. From Winston Churchill Street to Bobby Sands Street. Anyway, I thought that was both funny and interesting. Yes, I don't quite understand it, but there's some gravy there. Well, I don't even know what Bobby Sands is or any of this, but something's funny here. Well, that's all from me. Wishing you and yours a great 2020. Say hi to be the goat for me, Leo Bear. Thank you, Leo Bear. Let's see how much time I've done. I've went over time again. I'll do one more. How's that sound? And if you want to support, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 9335. P.O. Box, did I already say that one? Unauthorized.tv. If you want to support me and Ryan's little side local business, unbearablesmerchandise.com. But as always, this is unsponsored, ungrabbled, and you will always be able to watch it for free. on BitChute or YouTube. But it's not free and unauthorized anymore. Yeah, bandwidth is so expensive it would blow your mind. Not for me, not my pornos. Yeah, someone's funding the pornos. Please don't run stream. No problem. Thank you for the gravel, by the way. So, that'll do it today. Any final questions or comments? Bobby Sands was the leader of the IRA, and he was a Marxist. Well, Marxist is no good, but I'll need a lot more information. Gravy, it works every time, even when you're in overtime. So, in conclusion, my Hollywood memories, the best time I ever had there was when my currency was my community. I had no money, but we were making it work, and we felt like we were really above the system because our bills were so small and we had so much artistic fun. So embrace that. The one group above the Grabber is, of course, the Illuminamish, because no one can convince you to do something if you don't want their fancy pants and lollipops, and if there's nothing they can take from you, even your life. Like, the Amish proved that. They're like, Jebediah might have been killed by a Grabber, but he's now with God. And the funniest bit I've ever seen, we're going to watch it a final time for all of you joining. I don't care if I'm over. That's why people subscribe to Unauthorized. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and I'm so glad that comedy still exists. And this guy's still crushing. I don't know if he's still making comedy, but Weiss told me he's an awesome dude. But I'm glad he made it so I didn't have to, like, spend all the time making it, because this is better than I would have done. All right, final one. And thanks for all the lemons. Release the lemons, Kyneton Bear. I don't know if you've already done that or not. I'll just do it, because you might be... You might be doing something humiliating to yourself. I'm just kidding. You guys know I trust Kyneton with literally all my passwords in my entire life. All right, here we go.
Are you an elite? Are your staged attacks not going as planned? Are your globalist agendas failing because you're using subpar crisis actors? Well, then look no further. Hi, I'm Harrison Hanks, the ultimate crisis actor. Need a medical doctor?
In 18 years as a medical examiner, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Is this one over the top? Is this one different?
Yeah, it's over the top. 33 children died.
You need a grieving husband? Did a right-winger set off a bomb?
Bro, yeah, we're just milling about over there. I had a massive explosion.
And I'm your man. Tired of melodramatic acting?
There's light away from the darkness.
I'm just trying to figure out if he's okay.
I lost my 20-year-old, but I had 20 years with my son.
It's just tragedy. Horror and tragedy.
Or maybe you need me to tone down my good acting to match your sorry lot of wannabes. In that case, I can go from this.
My name is Bobby Parmer. My family's one of the families that lost a child.
To this.
My name is Bobby Parmer. And my family's one of the families that lost a child.
Going for the guns takes subtlety. Like this.
I don't know how many more need to die before the president does something.
Not this.
And please, could we do something with the assault weapons?
And every one of those hands is a reason why those weapons should not be out in the general public.
Because in this kind of a situation, what has changed? Have we learned nothing?
Tired of green screen mishaps and disappearing noses? Me too.
Okay. I just... Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm green screen ready. Bonded and insured. I can morph into 1,000 different faces. I offer reasonable rates, and I have no conscience. Just pick your card to play on the world stage.
Amazing.
From homeless to police officer, from doctor to witness, to your ace card, the grieving father.
You can count on Harrison Hanks to push through your agenda. Regain their trust. Call Harrison Hanks for all your crisis needs. Thank you, and good luck.
Genius. Absolutely genius. I mean, you see how much more effective that is than cornering coworkers and screaming? That's why this guy is so hated. Humor makes anyone be like, oh, I get it. That's hilarious. Okay, guys, I gotta go. Unauthorized.tv, subscribe. Unbearables merchandise. P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. At Owen Comedy on Twitter. At Owen Comedy on Instagram. By that, you're a band. Kyneton runs it. I've never logged in because they know my my ISP or whatever. But good news is, they're gay and grabbly and don't actually have power if you just don't take their tickets. Ha ha! Guess who know it? The Irish. All right, see you guys tomorrow. Much love.